Okay, hi, my name's Alex Donaldson.
Hi, Alex Donaldson.
Hi, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 12th of August, 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Nicholas Pierre Trone, I'm 24, and I'm from London.
And how are you doing today?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So how did you initially hear about the project?
I initially heard about it through television, actually. I've always been quite intrigued by the plinths on Trafalgar Square. I'm sure you guys know that General Charles Napier stands behind us, who's a pretty amazing guy, in fantastic general in India. And yeah, I thought it was pretty fantastic that the vacant plinth on the northwest side was being used for another event, but this time to give a little more opportunity for the public to have a go. So I jumped to the chance to sort of lead in the footsteps of Napier and possibly the Queen and get up there.
And what was it that actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
You actually had quite a lot to do with it because, you did, but the idea that you'd be up there participating in a fantastic art event and also being able to get a bit of limelight for something that I believe in quite strongly, which is the small business that I'm trying to set up at the moment. I think it's quite relevant, really, considering all the big corporations and banks that are taking all our money. And I think really right now we need to be helping out our little guys, the creative people who are setting up new stuff. And actually, even though you may think of a small business as a capitalist venture, it's got a lot in common innovation-wise with art and creativity. I mean, our style of our business, which is a small restaurant, has a lot in common with arts and style. So I think the two are quite compatible.
And can I just ask you what you're actually doing on the plinth?
Well, because our restaurant, which is called Poncho, Poncho Ocho, or Poncho Number 8 in English, for those less educated of you out there, is a Mexican style restaurant. We're going to be selling gourmet burritos, which is like a tortilla wrap filled with a fantastic array of ingredients. So I'm going to go up there in my poncho and my my Clint Eastwood hat, and I'm going to build a giant burrito out of sort of tortilla wraps, also soiled bed sheets, substituting, and tinfoil, and just build this thing while generally trying to keep sober, which is very difficult for any Mexican.
And can I ask you a little bit about the restaurant, how you kind of came up with it, how old is the idea, how far have you got in terms
well,
of development?
Well, I spent a lot of time in America last year, and they really like their gourmet burritos. I mean, they like a lot of food, really. But I feel personally that this kind of food has been missed out on a lot in London and England and Europe. And my friend and I, who I'm doing it with, Frank, shout out to Frank, and we want to sort of bring this over to the UK while adding our own element to it. So our idea was to marry the style and chic trends of London and our own cooking experience with this sort of cool idea from America. So that's why we decided that we weren't going to work in skyscrapers anymore. We were going to go and do it go our own way.
And can I just ask you, work-wise, what you did before and what was it that kind of triggered you to change your direction?
I initially, when I left university, did went and worked for a bank for a bit in Copenhagen. Then I threw the towel in with that, went and worked for the Innocent Smoothie Company, which was completely different. Quite enjoyed selling smoothies in a grass van for a bit, but that got a bit tiring eventually, so did a quick master's in entrepreneurial finance and how to set up businesses at the London School of Economics, and came to this point now. So that's, my very dull life in a nutshell.
And can I ask you a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, where you kind of grew up?
Yeah, born and raised in London, but I do have Danish heritage, which is why I went to Copenhagen a bit. To work there. I pretty much enjoy any sport under the sun. Big fan of the, I would say, mainstream art scene in London, particularly architecture. So I'm a big fan of sort of the Baroque and Rococo styles found down in sort of Barcelona and the Spanish cities. But at the same time, the minimalist stars of Denmark and Scandinavia, the Arne Jacobsen types, the sort of modernists who I think have left a long and inspiring legacy in Danish architecture and design, which a lot of which has inspired our sort of sleek restaurant design. So we kind of married that sort of cool minimalist style with the vibrancy of Mexican flavour. So I describe myself as exactly the same thing, sort of very sleek and stylish, but crazy, very crazy.
And can I ask you a little bit about your Danish heritage?
Yes. My dad's from Denmark. He decided the country was a little too small for him, so moved to England, where he married his English wife, and I was the product, I think, at least. Since then, sort of held quite close ties with the country in everything from its bacon production to its liberal attitude towards pretty much everything or anything. I think it's proved quite a nice little niche to have, retaining the sort of fantastic formalities of Englishness with the liberal edges of a Danish culture.
And I'm presuming that you were in Copenhagen when you lived?
Worked out in the centre of Copenhagen, which is obviously quite a stylish city in itself. A lot of new ideas come out of there. Very trendy city, too trendy for me, I'm afraid, which is why I came back here. I thought going out there was a blue-haired boy? No, that's not quite...
Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, maybe?
Yeah. I'd fit in pretty well. I did, so much so that I fell pretty much into obscurity amongst all the other blonde-haired, blue-eyed guys, so I thought I'd just come back here and sort of feel a little more sort of different, which I haven't really done anyway. So I think I might have to go somewhere like... Paraguay might have more luck there.
And how would you say life over there compares to life in London?
It's hard to say because London obviously is such a cosmopolitan city. Effectively, you're describing a world city like London with quite a more local city like Copenhagen. So Copenhagen's got a very Scandinavian vibe to it. Everyone's very stylish. Everyone's very cool. There's a very distinct Danish feel to it, whereas London, although it's obviously the capital city of England, has a much more global feel to it. I feel that multiculturalism here far outstrips any other city in Europe, possibly the world. But going back to Denmark felt quite a lot like going back to sort of a little local town where everyone knew each other and everyone looked the same. So it was quite nice to come back and sort of feel that difference and cosmopolitan element that London contains.
And you've lived in London your whole life. What do you think this art project has brought to the city?
Well, it's just completely compounded the idea that London is a city that gives opportunity to anyone and everyone. I mean, here we have one of the most pronounced plinths and statues and focal sites in London. That normally most cities and most countries would reserve for dignitaries and fallen soldiers and that sort of thing. But of course we're in London, which means that anything goes, and here we have a fantastic, well, one in a line of art installations that's gone on there. This one, which I think is probably the most diverse and most different, and certainly the most interactive. So I think well done to Anthony Gormley for coming at that one and getting it through with was it Boris or was it the previous mayor?
Boris, absolutely.
Good work, Boris. Well done.
Done well.
Livingston would have done that. He would have tried to tax the thing. I think it's a really, really novel idea that just continues to keep London at the forefront of sort of public interest in art, because a lot of art is normally construed as being stuffy and elitist and esoteric. And here we have a massive art installation that is clearly not only using the public, but I imagine engaging with them, I hope engaging with them equal.
And as an individual, how do you think you will contribute to the project as a whole?
Not very much, I don't think. Being one out of 2,400 people, I think, you know, I'd have to do something pretty special, and I've already seen what some of the sort of naked, crazy people have done, so I thought I would just go down my own route to do what I felt comfortable doing, which was to try and do some sort of Mexican-related installation, which, you know, I don't think anyone's ever built a giant burrito before, certainly not on the fourth plinth of Trafalgar Square. And given my limited resources and limited imagination, I thought that building a giant burrito would be a nice little thing to get done, especially within an hour. It's not easy to build a giant burrito in an hour. Perhaps not that our tip. You could say it's some sort of statement on the fast food culture of the world and how we're going to improve upon it. So, yeah, that's my goal.
Just to go back to your hour.
Yeah.
What kind of experience are you ultimately wanting to get out of today?
Well, I suppose I've never been quite in a position of such sort of exposure before. And hopefully the rain's about to stop, which means that people come out and actually look at me. But I think the idea was just to sort of get up there, try and basically promote what I'm doing because it's quite important to me. Get people a little bit interested, make sure they find out a bit more about Mexican food, Mexican culture. Hopefully this will be a little stepping stone. People think, oh, why is that guy up there in a poncho? They'll figure out more about Poncho Ocho, our restaurant, and come to Rito one day and sort of we'll get to sort of introduce them to all the other stuff we do. So we don't just sell burritos, we do a lot of work with marine biology on the west coast of Mexico, saving turtles and all that sort of corporate social responsibility, I think it's technically called. But we actually just do it because we think turtles are quite cool and they're worth saving. So it's a broad project that involves where we're bringing just a start of it. So hopefully we can look back on this and in a few years' time and say, yeah, it wasn't just about the food, it was about... It's about culture.
So you, how much time did you actually spend in South America?
I spent 4 months traveling across America and Mexico. So not South America at all, because they don't actually do burritos.
Okay.
Mexico is the birthplace of the burrito and the fajita. But you know, I'll happy go to South America. I've probably got some amazing foods down there as well.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe they need a burrito chain opening up there.
Possibly.
Poncho Ocho.
So that's when you kind of gave birth to the... Is it just to the two of you?
Yeah, it's me and Frank. Frank can talk to Frank. He's not a druggie. He sells burritos. But he was out there as well in America. And we both sort of hit upon the idea independently, came back under together, and thought we'd try and render it over here. So the whole inspiration came from the States and Mexico and this sort of fantastic quality food that doesn't come in lame portions, comes in quite fantastically large ones, so fills you up and it's good for you.
And would you say burritos are something that London's lacking in?
Absolutely lacking, especially in quality burritos. They are very hard to find, so we hope to capitalise upon this little gap in the market. We think of it as a massive hole that needs filling with lots of burritos rather than a gap, but you know, gap can work. And we're going to take it from there.
And can I ask you a little bit about your interests?
Yeah.
Sport, music?
Sport's good, yeah. Music, big fan, obviously. I could rattle off all the usual things. Big fan of, like I said, sort of the new ideas in terms of business and I suppose sort of Dragon's Den style thing. I think the more people come up with new ideas, the more they decide to leave their jobs to set up and pursue these ideas, the better. I personally have tried to set up poetry websites before. I'm quite a big fan of the renaissance of poetry, even if it isn't in a commercial form. And I spend a long time with my friend Lawrence Witherington, chief poet, trying to set up a website which provided custom tailored poetry for people. So you could sort of apply for an ode or maybe a sonnet. And you know, obviously if you wanted iambic pentameter, you'd have to pay a bit more, but I think that's fair. So that fell massively down. No one wanted custom made poetry. But that was something I was quite keen on. In the meantime I spent a lot of time translating and editing books, novels. At the moment we're translating a Danish book called Russian Roulette. Be in the stalls shortly, I'm sure. Again, this is just like a massive plug session, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is it okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Plug away. Obviously literature and current affairs especially. I'm just going to hopefully look into a career in governments and politics, perhaps some sort of advisory, but then I realised there was very little money and too many egos in it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to get rid of that.
And you said, so you studied a master's?
It was in, yes, in, well, management and economics, with quite a strong focus on finance for small enterprises, small businesses. Mm-hmm. And that coupled with my sort of bachelor's degree, which is in geography, fantastic subject. You can make a colouring joke now. Really? Got you. I guess the two of them just sort of coupled quite well together.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a little bit more where I stand.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, just thanks for giving me the chance to get up there. I'm looking forward to building my giant burrito.
I'm very excited.
Brilliant.